Welcome back to the Horseman's Corner. I'm Howard Hale, host of the program. Let's continue with some really interesting information from Horseman Tom Curtin. And it doesn't do any good if you start 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 head of horses if you don't learn anything from them, does it?
No, sir. That's exactly right. I've seen folks, and I don't mean it disrespectful to no one, but I've seen folks that rode horses or handled cattle all their life, and they're not any better than the day they started, because they're not interested in changing. And I guess that's what keeps driving me is every day there's so much to be learned at these clinics. That's why I guess I enjoy doing my clinics as much as I do, is because I learn every day at those clinics as much, if not more, than most of the students that are in them.
Well, when you're trying to teach somebody something, it really gets your mind to working, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. They'll cause you to be creative.
What are some of the keys to, well, for one thing, the first thing you got to understand is the horse doesn't speak the same language that we do, does he?
No, sir, but he's sure interested in trying.
And what are some of the keys to learning the language of the horse, in your view?
Again, it's that awareness. I guess what helped me so much with these horses is I'd watch a horse do something, and then I'd hang around long enough to see what happened next. And it always intrigued me what happened next. So you was always kind of a little bit behind, but that was the learning process. And then I just started backing it up. I'd watch a horse do something, and then the next time I'd see him do that, I'd say, well, I know what's going to happen next, see, because I've seen it happen before. And it was just this awareness level is probably the most key factor in it, along with exposing yourself to so many different horses. If you get to be around several different horses, and I know that can be difficult for some folks, but if they're really interested in this philosophy and understanding these horses coming from this point of view, you have to expose yourself, because there's so many different situations. And see, a horse don't have a program, and they don't come with an owner's manual. They live their life by moments, and that's where we get caught up in trying to plan things out. And a lot of times that's why it don't work for a horse. See, we got all these plans, and he says, well, how come I didn't fit into that, or I didn't have no say in that, say? So that's what you're kind of dealing with there. And again, that awareness level is what's so key to this, being able to shape and set these things up where it works out for both of you.
Is it interesting to watch horses interact with each other?
No doubt. It's interesting to watch them interact with each other. It's interesting to watch them interact with you. If you'll just take the time to allow them to interact with you instead of see, what happens is so many times with the human is we have this agenda. We have this desire. We have this need that we think we have to have. And we're not willing to give to what maybe the horse needs. What he needs at that moment might not be what we feel like we should have, say. And that's where the horse gets in trouble so many times.
The mind is a very important thing with the horse, I would think. What do you need to do, or how do you get that mind to going in the same direction you're trying to go? What are some of the keys there in your view?
The most important thing to me is being able to control the life of his body through his legs to his feet. Being able to get to his feet. If you can get to that horse's feet, you can help start to develop and change and get his mind to thinking. So many people get so caught up on working with just the mind of these horses. It's not in the mind. I never knew Tom Dorrance. I only got to meet him, and I was around him for a very, very short period of time. So I didn't get to know Tom. But the last thing Tom told me, he says, if there was ever such a thing as a secret to the horse, not that there is, he says, it's in the feet. So you're working on trying to, you can utilize those feet to get that horse to thinking and get to his mind. Does that kind of make sense what I'm talking about there? By being able to go through them feet, you can get that mind working for you.
Yes, but that's not necessarily just forcing the horse to move his feet, is it? How do you get those feet and the mind to work together?
Well, again, you start directing them feet. Say, it's not, you're not just moving them feet or forcing them feet to move. that horse is going to move. He's got life in him anyway, and he's going to want to do some things. And one horse may have more life than the next. And as you start to direct that life in him and gets into where you can kind of control and direct them feet, his mind is going to be right there. And I can use, I'll use loading a horse in the trailer, for example. You can get a horse to think about getting in that trailer all day long, and if you don't get his feet in there, you haven't done much. You're not going nowhere. But yet, if you can get that horse's feet to come alive and you start directing them and you get them feet to go in that trailer, I'll promise you that mind's going to be right there with it.
Okay, let's talk about one of the things that I read that you had to say that was really interesting to me. Kind of talk about lightness and softness and the difference, would you?
Yes, sir. A lightness can be built in a horse, and a horse learned this lightness in just a matter of seconds. And before you'll ever get softness in a horse, you will get some lightness. But just because a horse is soft don't mean he's light. And of course, if a horse is light, don't mean he's soft. I see a lot of horses get real light, and they're operating some to a certain degree out of fear of what might happen to them if they don't. You can make a horse be light. You can almost scare him into being light. You can never scare a horse into being soft. This softness that I'm talking about, he has to give you that. That's not something that you could ever take from him. And I see a lot of folks, they work in lightness with these horses. There's not a softness there. That horse is not willing to give that extra. He does what I speak of is he operates, so to speak, out of more of like a loyal soldier. He does what he's told to do, and he does it very lightly. He don't weigh much, but there's not a softness with the inside of him where he can turn loose and give you that extra that you need.
What are some of the things that you can see in that horse that tend to indicate that he has that softness, that he's soft on the inside and willingly wanting to go with you?
When those horses don't weigh anything and they have a complete understanding of what you're asking them to do, and they're not doing it because they're scared, they're doing it because they understand it, that's when you're going to have that softness. And you'll feel that come in these horses, and it may just come for a moment, go away, and what you try to do is you try to get that moment to show up more often than not. And that's kind of where I'm working at with these horses. But when he really understands something and he feels good about something, that'll show up on him coming from the inside.
How does that show up? What is there anything in his expression that I can see in that horse that tells me he's got that softness, not just light but soft?
I'll tell you, kind of a little gauge that you can go by, especially if you're riding that horse, is you might be able to pick up on them bridle reins a little bit and just have a feel of him there, but not pull his nose down and in. I see so many people when they go to working on this softness and stuff, they're trying to pull these horses' nose down and in. And them horses will never get soft. They just learn to flex at the pole and get light. But if you could get a little feel of that horse kind of right on the end of your bridle reins, and then you could kind of lift him with your legs, feet, and seat up into your hand and get that horse where you could ride him forward, stop him, and back him up, and not pick up and change anything in them bridle reins. In order to get to that spot, you're going to have a softness in that horse. And he's not going to weigh anything. And all softness is the beginning in the early stages of true collection. I see a lot of horses that are in a frame and they're flexed at the pole, but they're not collected. They're still using their front end to pull their back end.
You know what, this is some interesting stuff you're talking about, and this whole difference between softness and lightness is something that I think is difficult for most of us to understand.
I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm sure if as you get more aware of it and you get more sure of what you're looking for, And it happens for you a time or two, of course it's going to come through sooner for you, and it'll come to you a lot easier. But it's it's not something that's just going to fall out of the sky on you, and you're going to get moments of it, and you'll know when you get those moments, because you'll feel things that you've never felt before. You'll feel that horse start giving you those things that maybe you've never had before. And Ray mentioned a little something about that too at one time. He mentioned that you have to give something that you've never gave to be able to get something that you've never had.
You know, one of the interesting things, watch one of the trainers that worked out of my horse barn here, that guy that was really good, and he was working with a mule, and I think if I'm understanding what you're telling me, that mule got to the point where it had that real softness, because it went from being, in the back of the pen to... when the trainer'd show up, he was at the front of the pen, and it was kind of like, hey, what are we going to do today?
Exactly. Looking forward to going and doing what he needed to do because he wanted to do it, not because he had to do it.
Yeah, it and actually, when you watched the animal work, it looked like it was kind of an adventure for him, something that you could see it in the animal's expression. It was something he kind of enjoyed.
Yes, sir.
And I think if he would ask him to try to ride up a telephone pole, he'd have done it.
Yeah, or down a badger pole.
Well, that's just exactly right. But, Tom, let's take another break, and then we can come back and visit some more about horses and horsemanship. You're listening to The Horseman's Corner.
Hey, everyone. This is Brian Hale. If you've heard this program before, you know I have been offering website help for many years. In fact, we've been in the business for over 20, and we'd love to help you. For anything website related, even if you just need some advice, it's free. Email support@halemultimedia.com or call 940-224-6315. Portfolio, pricing, and contacts all on halemultimedia.com.